Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, I might be a little bit ahead.
That's okay. I can.
Not that it matters, thanks to your editing skills.
I can fix that on the back end.
That's what they all say.
Fix it on the back end.
Brooke.
Bridget.
Hey.
Hi.
It's good to see your face.
It's so good to see your face. I feel like I haven't seen you or slash
ooh, the screen flipped.
Oh, yeah.
And you look great in that color.
Thanks.
I gasped. But yes, finish what you were saying.
Well,
please,
now you are. I will tell you that you are frozen to me now.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's like less fun, but I can hear you fine. So I guess
okay.
We could just...
Well, we'll pray I come back.
I'll pray you come back. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Look at that. Prayer works.
Wow. Prayer.
Everyone, you heard it here first. So how you doing?
I'm good. A lot has happened since the last time we did the podcast.
Please tell me.
I have a car now.
God, things move fast in LA.
It's like a speedy.
You have a Mazda 1 week.
Got a Ford the next. She's really cute. She's a Ford EcoSport. And I was telling my dad, I sort of feel like a teenager that just had a baby. Because I was just like unprepared to have a car that's mine. And I'm like, now I have all these expenses I wasn't having before. Uh-oh.
Yo.
Yeah. I'm a single parent of... So her name is Bruce.
Oh, perfect. I love a gender-swapped name. Or a traditionally gender-swapped name.
She definitely is a girl car. But she looks like a little shark. So I named...
She's also Bruce just feels really right.
I love Bruce.
Has a certain elegance to it too, you know.
Well, my foster car was Barnaby.
Uh-huh.
Barnaby
and Bruce. Sounds like a circus.
Well, Barnaby is what brought me to Ford. And then shout out to Marco at Sunrise Ford. If you're in the LA area and you are looking to get a car and you don't happen to want a Ford, go see Marco at Sunrise Ford because he is the greatest man alive.
Marco at Sunrise Ford, another thing you heard here first, folks. Keep coming.
I have to go. You know what this means though, Bridget?
Tell me.
I have to go get a California ID at the DMV.
Brooke.
I know.
Wow.
I am committing.
Is that so you can register it properly?
Yeah, or something. I don't really understand the law.
That is a commitment.
I'm like about to be a California resident.
Yeah. The world truly just works in mysterious ways, you know?
I'm just like, yoy. So I'm like here, I guess. But I can't wait to pick you up. Oh, we'll talk about that. Bridget's coming to
visit
me.
I'll meet Bruce so soon.
You're going to fucking get to know Bruce.
Fucking fuck Bruce.
Don't fuck Bruce.
I won't. I love to be a passenger in the front seat of a car. So I'm ready. I mean, I also love driving. I just mean like I like that co-pilot slot.
Mm-hmm.
It's cozy.
Yeah. What about you? How's jiu-jitsu, my little ninja?
Oh, it's really good. It's so good. There were two women doing their first class on Wednesday, yesterday, mm-hmm. and the teacher who was teaching came up to me beforehand and was like, hey, would you pair up with one of them? Like, would you mind if I put her with you? And then a different teacher who had just been watching during gave me my stripe afterwards and was like,
you got another stripe?
Yeah, I get one every class. Well, the red stripes are take longer to earn. I get a black stripe every class. Yeah.
You're it's a very, black belt?
Not for years, baby.
Oh, I think about it.
I do too now, weirdly, abstractly, but I'm definitely like going to take this wherever I can.
Jiu-jitsu is your yoga. Bridget's going to be a jiu-jitsu teacher in like a year.
Stop it. Stop it. It's really fun and gratifying to do something new and cool. And also jiu-jitsu keeps popping up everywhere in my life, which is exciting.
Like Sex in the City. A great segue. Exactly.
It's that thing where you just become like aware of something and then suddenly it's like revealed to you in the world.
It's so interesting. I feel like everyone in New York like knew I had a podcast. And so now people will be like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to record my podcast. And they're like, you have a podcast?
What?
And yeah. I'm just like, I don't know. It feels very LA to be like, hey, my name is Brooke and I have a podcast. So I'm letting it be like
it also felt
surprise.
Very New York when you were here. You know, it goes both ways.
Sure.
The LA podcast vibe is different, though, than the New York podcast vibe. I'll grant you that. Vibes.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Splat, the podcast where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about
Sex in the city.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
It's almost getting time, kids.
Yeah, we're like the countdown is on. The clock is ticking. The tick tick boom is what's happening here. You're welcome.
Tick tick boom.
Things are happening. Also, you can sort of see things like heading towards a wrap up in some ways, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Like knowing it's coming, I can kind of see the beginnings of pieces.
You guys,
for sure, in this episode.
Next week,
guys. Next week, it's fucking Splat, baby.
It's Splat. So we have one more freaking episode until we get to our
namesake.
Thank you.
I'm really pumped. I mean, it could even be a bad episode, and I would still be pumped.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we haven't had any guests for you, my sweet friends. I just have to tell you, it's hard to do this podcast long distance. And adding a third element in would be super
impossible.
But maybe when Bridget comes to LA, we will facilitate a guest moment.
Yeah. We like to tell you things are going to happen and sometimes they do. So maybe you'll get lucky. We will record while I'm there though, whichever episode we're on. Headphones are coming with me.
Yeah,
In the bag.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, baby. So this episode is called The Cold War. And not only
I wonder
is
what
that
it might be about.
A joke about Russia. But it's also about cold weather.
Ooh, and that's going to come up over and over.
Oh, she sings now, too. It's like I don't even know my own wife.
Baby, you know me better than anybody.
Long distance is so hard.
I know. Can't wait to close the gap.
If you thought our content was bad in Disney World, just you wait.
Bad. How could that ever be bad?
You're right.
So shall we dive into episode 17 of season 6 of the show Sex and the City?
Yes. Here we go.
We open on
a
the
restaurant.
Guest starring Willie Garson title, which I'm always happy to see. There is canoodling happening in the corner of a restaurant.
Carrie, that's his hand. I was like, Carrie's neck is so veiny.
Yes. So the Russian has his hand down around Carrie's neck and down the front of her shirt. And he's just like mashing his face into her and saying sweet nothings in this corner booth of a very nice restaurant. And three people come in, his assistant and a painter who he introduces, who it's funny because Petrovsky calls him the most famous painter in New York, something. And the painter leans forward and says, I won't be paying for lunch. Which is, ha, ha, ha.
And the Audra, the editor of a magazine, and this guy who is really hot with a beanie and looks very scary when he takes it off.
Oh, yeah, that's the assistant, I think. That's Petrovsky's assistant, I'm pretty sure. Lee. He has quite the neck tattoo.
Quite the little ascot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically... They haven't seen...
Please. Yeah, Petrovsky, he has a show coming up in Paris, which you can tell from Carrie's face is brand new information to her.
She keeps getting blindsided by Paris.
And she learns truly. And no wonder she never travels abroad. So she also learns that he hasn't had a show in 6 years. So these other people are very excited about his show. And... the woman, the editor, who's very haughty and has teeny, teeny little reading glasses on.
The tiniest glasses. And she's sort of like, Petrovsky tells them that Carrie's a writer, and she's like, oh, for the Times. And Carrie's like, the New York Star, which is embarrassing.
She kind of walks her through this whole series where the woman asks her, like, the most, you know, the best, like, oh, you write novels? And Carrie has to say, like, no, a column. And then she says, oh, for the New York Times. And
it's very sweet because Petrovsky's, like, very proud of her and he loves
and
her.
And he pulls a newspaper open and reads a little bit from Carrie's column. And everyone else at the table laughs. And the woman just kind of looks at her. But the woman also asks her what his art looks like, like, what his show is going to look like. And Carrie is kind of like, well, I haven't seen it. You know, which is sets up the war.
Charlotte has bonded with Elizabeth Taylor. And Mario Cantone is walking, and it's a very beautiful dog, so naturally Charlotte is getting a lot of attention on the street.
Mario Cantone is wearing an excellent jacket, and Charlotte is walking with her arm straight out and, like, holding the leash neck up a la Westminster.
But it's definitely, you know. She's actually not hold. I doubt she's actually walking a dog.
No, not a chance. Over in Brooklyn. Oh, well, so Charlotte is saying that she wants to put the dog, Elizabeth Taylor, back
into dog shows
because she thinks the only reason she wasn't succeeding is because her mom didn't believe in her, her previous mother. And Mario Cantone is pointing out that, like, seven people have stopped them to exclaim over how cute the dog is. So yeah. Charlotte is like, I'm going to be a pageant mom.
Now, over in Brooklyn, you know, Brooklyn, Miranda problem. Steve comes over and hugs her, but has, like, the most, like, let's make sweat stains on his chest, dampness on his shirt.
Yes. And Miranda's unhappy because she had to walk from the train in her heels, and she asks if Steve has put her DSL line in yet, which he hasn't. Because he's, like, fixing up a lot of the house by himself, handy man that he is. And the tattletale comes in, the equivalent of, like,
us weekly,
or worse, I would say, even like Gossip magazine comes in, and Miranda's like, oh, I no longer can hear anything you're saying because I am reading this. And Steve was like, I can't believe you read that dribble. She's like, it's my thing. She has a line that she says, I forget, but she repeats it to Charlotte later. So we will circle back, folks.
So we cut to my favorite Stanford.
Wearing a fuzzy pink beret.
A fuzzy pink beret, and he enters a diner, and it's bustling and hustling and hustling and bustling, and they see Jared.
And over at the Star table, he is with Marcus, Jared, his boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And they walk over, and you're like, because he's like, oh, that's Samantha's friend. And you're like, why is this man sitting with a woman who's not Samantha? And as Stanford says, hi, do you remember us? We're Samantha's friend.
And Samantha turns around and goes, oh, I hear she's a lovely woman.
It's her in a wig, of course. And a fan comes over and asks to take a photo. And Marcus, who was talking about how beautiful Smith Jared is before, when he, like, as they were walking over to the table, like, snuggles into him a little bit. And you're like, that's kind of weird, Lee specific. And of course, indeed, it becomes a major plot point. In bed.
Cut to bed.
Carrie.
Oh my God, when I was Petrovsky. Talking to people about, I'm just pausing it really quick.
Yep.
I was talking to people about Sex and the City the other day because I went to a SAG mixer with my friend Omar, who is in SAG. I, however, am not yet. Yet, she says aggressively into the microphone. And we were talking to someone, and finally I mentioned that I have a podcast, which I was like, oh, that's something interesting about me that I could have brought up earlier. And we were talking about Sex and the City, and I was like, you know, this time around, like, I see why Alexander Petrovsky is considered sexy. And they were like, ew, no. And I was like, I don't know. And I just want to say that he's hot.
Yeah. I mean, I have been open about that from the beginning. I think their chemistry is some of the most natural of any pairing on this show, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he's like, he just like does his thing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So they're in bed and he's just kind of like.
I don't know if y'all can hear, but Fred the cat is yelling at me right now.
Chirping. He's hangry. So they're in bed. Petrovsky is keeping her there, basically, because she was about to get up. And he's like, no, I want you to stay here.
And she's like, I need you to tell me things. And she's like, he's like, what do you mean? I tell you things. And she's like, so I don't have to sit in a restaurant with like a mouth open face.
She does a really silly, exaggerated, like, what face? Wow, Fred is chatting. I think he's trying to impart a very important message.
Just come here. No, he's fucking stretching.
And Carrie's basically like, okay, again, she's slept in a bra again. Although
this one,
at
like,
least it looks lacy. Like okay. That one's like, yeah, you're right. That it's better. So I saw the straps and got upset. You know how I feel about Carrie and her bras.
It doesn't make any
and
sense.
And she's basically like, okay, if you're not going to talk to me, then I'm going to get out of bed. And he is like, no.
It's cold out there. It's warm in here.
Baby, it's cold outside, but Russian version. And she is like, but I have people to be meeting. And he's like, no. And then it cut to her three friends meeting without her.
And this wig on Samantha is not my favorite.
Charlotte is like, why would you read that? She goes, I love it. It's my thing.
Sorry.
She Miranda pulls out her tattletale and Charlotte's like, why are you reading that? She says, I love it. It's my thing. Let it go, which is what she said to Smith. And amen. That is the mood. But basically, Miranda is like, bad news. So Smith is in this. And this says he's gay. And Samantha, who's wearing an incredible cropped blonde wig, is like, oh, please. That's not an issue. He looks good in this photo, and if the rumors are that he's gay, that means he's truly a star now.
That's such a great outlook on life, Miss Samantha.
I know. She really is chilling. Well, exactly, and that's what they say to her, too. And she's like, once you've had the big C, everything else kind of is put into perspective, which is, like, very fun. Until the end of this episode, Samantha goes off the fucking rails again.
Shocker. Carrie calls and is like, I can't come. I'm too cold. Which I'm like, honestly, that's the realest thing that Carrie's done.
I know.
And Miranda.
I was like, this is relatable, folks.
And Charlotte's like, dog shows. And Miranda's like, bitch, I came all the way from Brooklyn and you're downtown and you think it's too cold. And Carrie's like, so Smith is gay? And Miranda's like, no.
Well, first of all, Carrie's like, you came from Brooklyn because you would do anything to go back into Manhattan. And Miranda's like, fine, but you owe me a trip to Brooklyn. And then Samantha takes it and she's like, no, he's not gay. You're fine. Stay home where you are. Enjoy your morning with your hot guy.
And he's massaging her feet because they live fake lives.
Mm-hmm. And her legs are lovely. And she stays for 4 days. He talks her into like a lovely romantic staycation, basically,
because she doesn't do anything.
She doesn't do anything. I finally left the Russian's warm apartment,
came home to the tropics because her heater,
her furnace is just like running full blast, and she realizes she's kind of neglected. Wow, she really just runs through her apartment dropping clothes. She realizes she's kind of neglected things for 4 days, not being home. And on her answering machine are some messages.
And who do we think the message is going to be from?
Whom could they be from? And I do say they because there are multiple, and it is indeed Mr. Big.
Oh, Mr. Big. And he calls her once, twice.
Three times. And the third time he's like, hey, did I do something to tick you off? Like, it's not like you to ignore me because, of course, God forbid Carrie not reply to him or have her own life.
But why didn't he try her cell phone?
Maybe he doesn't have that number.
I feel like we've seen her talk to him on a cell phone.
Maybe. I mean, that would be the least of the continuity errors in this show.
And Carrie, to my delight, deletes.
After listening to them, which I love because I was worried, but I also am annoyed because I know that won't be the end.
I don't know, Bridget. Maybe it will.
You're right. Are you revisionist historying this right now?
Maybe.
So Carrie goes to Brooklyn and...
Remember when Carrie was like, this is just sex? Ha ha.
Uh-huh. Things are serious with the Russian. She's saying they're drinking wine and the house is like in process, but looks really lovely. And there's a fire going because, dare I repeat, it's cold outside.
Baby.
And Carrie is like, honestly, yeah, she says, she tells Miranda about Big and that she deleted the messages and that she's like, I understand where I'm at with the Russian. Like, he tells me how he feels about me. Things are mature. We talk them out. Unlike answering machine up there in Napa. And she says, but, you know, she kind of does a hesitation. And Miranda's like, okay, there's always a thing. What's the thing? And she's like, well, he doesn't tell me anything about his life. And Miranda's like, or about his work. And Miranda's like, I don't tell Steve anything. And Carrie's like, doesn't that bother him? And Miranda's like, no, yeah. I think he prefers it.
But we know. That's not true.
Yep. And Carrie's like, I don't know. I just feel like with your partner, you should be able to share all the things. And Miranda's like, you want passions on top of your passions.
Oh, and then Steve comes back and he's the sweetest man alive. He comes in and he's like, welcome, Carrie. He's so
what
happy.
Do you hang on? Can we pause real fast?
Yeah.
What do you think about that idea Carrie has that like your romantic partner like should also be your best friend and like your end all be all? Because I actually think that's pretty recent, and I think it's like what I want also. But I think it's, I don't know. I think there's
I don't know
a
if
lot
it's
of
recent.
Good
the
in like
idea.
Having. Yeah. No. I mean, in terms of culturally, in terms of like 50 years ago, you know, like there are a lot of people in our parents' generation and then certainly their parents who like marriages weren't about like friendship really necessarily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like about, you know, having your interests all line up and like doing things together in that same kind of way that like we now, I think, want relationships.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of the reason why we're getting married later.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
But it's like, I think we're looking for partners more now than we are looking for just like a joint bank account.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I would agree. But I think it's interesting, like the difference in their perspectives, you know, like Carrie feeling like, well, and Miranda, of course, has the really sanguine point of saying every relationship is different.
Right.
But I do think more so people want that than to, but they're also like, I know people who are really strong couples who like do live significant portions of their lives, like pretty separate, you know?
Yeah. I don't think I want, I don't know what I want. I think at least for like a boyfriend right now, maybe not a husband. Mm-hmm. 'Cause by that point it's like a different, you're sort of a unit.
Yeah.
But I feel like
agree.
I don't want a boyfriend that's, I want someone who I can like comfortably bring into my immediate circle, but like can also be like this isn't going to sound bad, but like not someone to escape to.
No, I totally
get
that.
But someone to like, that I can be like, this is, that is also separate from my group of friends.
Yeah. You have like a separate built space.
Yeah.
Totally. No, that makes sense.
But also, I'm so single. I
I mean, same.
Couldn't
girl.
Even tell you what I wanted in a partner right now. Which same. Is, you know, I can tell you what yeah. I what I don't want.
Yeah, I mean that's constructive in some ways. My no radar is extremely fine tuned. Let me tell you. But the yes one is has a hard time coming online sometimes.
I have like actually not been attracted to anyone in like.
I just want to have a crush on someone, dude.
And like a real crush. That's, not a crush yes. on someone because someone tells me that I should have a crush on someone.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really guilty of that where someone would be like, you should hook up with this person. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I should hook up with this person. And then when I don't hook up with that person, or that person isn't interested in me, I'm like, I'm a pariah. And then it takes me like 3 days and I'm like, I don't want to hook up with that person either.
Yeah.
And that's ugh. What's going on with me.
And that's that on that, folks. That's what you missed on Glee also. So, Carrie, who is wearing a Mrs. Weasley knitted sweater with her first initial on it, and Steve are having a really sweet, you know, he's like very excited about the house and Carrie's indulging him. And then he kisses Miranda and Carrie's kind of like, oh, this is lovely.
And then she asks, she tells Miranda she wants her to meet the her Russian.
And Miranda's like, cannot wait. And the Yule log, Miranda goes, that log is really heating up the joint, huh? They both cackle.
I love that Petrovsky just has pomegranates on his counter.
Me too. It feels right.
I feel like Alexander Petrovsky would know how to open up a pomegranate.
You think he puts them in water? He knows the official way.
And Carrie's like, I want you to meet my friends, my people. And he's like, And she's like, I met your people. He was like, no, you met my coworkers. My friends are in
my
Europe.
My colleagues. My friends are in Europe. Well, my friends are here and they are fantastic. He says, then on Sunday, I'll be happy to meet your fantastic friends. And she's very excited. And she says, FYI, you have a friend in New York, me. And he's like, you're not my friend, you're my lover. And that is a much better thing. Which is a very clear-cut differentiation. Mm-hmm. And he starts to be kissy up on her. And she's like, no, 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 I have to go write my column. And he's like, I have a really nice computer.
And she's like, I can use your fancy computer. And he says.
And he's like, in exchange for 1 hour in bed.
So she's prostituting herself right now.
She's delighted about that. What a work schedule this lady runs on.
Should we simply be satisfied? Mine's way too fast for me. Without sharing your world, can even the hottest relationship stop cold?
Or should we simply be satisfied with a relationship that sizzles? Yeah, I couldn't wonder. Without sharing your world, can even the hottest relationship stop cold? And which is exactly cold. What Brooke just says. And when she says cold, it expands to all three monitors
saying
that she's
cold.
Working on. Just the word spread across them perfectly. Samantha, wearing an excellent red bob wig.
I love that she has so many wigs.
Getting a pedicure. And she hears two like obnoxious socialite-y gossipy girls behind her talking about like, did you hear Smith Jared's gay? And like this whole time I thought that Samantha Jones was like fucking all the hottest guys in New York. And now I realize she's just a
fag hag is what they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which to be fair was quite the term in the early 2000s.
I appreciate
I'm glad it's one we don't use anymore.
You just said beard though, but I feel like we have to be in order to our ranking of episodes. We have to.
Yeah, well, that's what she calls it. She says she's a beard and a wig, which I think is so
funny.
That's
what Samantha calls it, but these girls.
Actually, no, I think she says that when she first sees the photos. Say that again.
Nothing.
Oh, fun. I'll hear it in a few days. So they're at the dog show.
One day.
And it's the big dogs. And
Samantha
so
looks
Charlotte's
amazing.
Not out there.
This
she really
this
these
wig
wigs are
is like
fun.
Farrah Fawcett with like highlights on the front.
Exactly, it's incredible. She's really leaned into this wig thing for how resistant she was at first. Mm-hmm. And she's like, listen, I cannot let it stand that these girls think I didn't have sex. She calls herself a fag hag again, needlessly a few times, and she is kind of obsessing over it. And Carrie is like she's abstaining from their bets on the different dogs because she's like I gotta go backstage and see Charlotte.
Charlotte and Mario Cantone are blow drying Elizabeth
it's
Taylor.
So funny. And Elizabeth Taylor is just taking it.
Charlotte has crazy eyes.
And they're
eyes.
Cooing. But the dog starts doing this kind of like weird squat thing. And Mario Cantone, also Mario Cantone uses the word fag, which I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's his to do. But I just feel like this episode is just like took a liberty and just ran with it, you know?
Oh, my God. And then
so
it's so terrible. Elizabeth Taylor like starts this weird squatty thing and blood starts dripping from
her. She like starts spotting.
I didn't realize basically, that's like what happened when dogs were in heat. I like didn't
and
realize
Carrie
it just
sees
like
the,
dripped.
I know. Yeah. Well, they just really are quite graphic about it.
And Carrie's like, but, should I go get a teeny tiny tampon?
I know people put their dogs in diapers when it happens.
Really?
But when Carrie first comes over and sees their faces, she's like, what's going on? And Mario Cantone goes, the friggin' dog got her period. So Carrie goes back out and sits with them and she's like, Elizabeth Taylor got her period, which sets up a pretty good bit in this episode where they always refer to the dog by her full name and say ridiculous things that she's doing. And it's just fun to think about Elizabeth Taylor doing those things.
But Charlotte takes her out anyway, which is going to be, this is going to, it just, you know, when this
risk.
Is happening, that this something
I
bad
know.
Is going to happen.
We've already gotten the close up of dripping blood, so let's see.
Yeah, it can only go downhill from here.
But Elizabeth Taylor is running beautifully, and Charlotte is also just running gorgeously. I mean, this is a Pantene commercial, but she makes it to the final five in the small dogs, narrowed it down to the toy poodle, champion Diamond Kiko.
This dog looks so
the Shih Tzu.
Derby.
Champion Urasaki, the Pomeranian, champion Justy Greystoke, and the King Charles Spaniel, Elizabeth Taylor. And Miranda stands up and like whoops, and it's really cute. And guess what? Guess what?
I bet you can guess. She
Charlotte was
dripping.
A dog show natural.
Oh,
thanks to her
blood
blue
on
blood
her
background.
Shoe.
It's
so
really
terrible.
Gross. But she grabs the he sees it and there's like a real weird moment, but she like flashes a smile at the judge, who clearly thinks she's a cutie, and it still works.
She wins,
which just goes to show women can do anything
on their period.
Exactly. But it's really funny. They show Charlotte like slow motion running and then zoom in on the judge and they make the background behind him spin in a very early 2000s effect way.
Yeah.
So a man comes up to Samantha after the dog show and he's like, listen, could I get Smith Jared's number? And she's like, Tom, no, I'm fucking him. And he goes, sure you are. And laughs, like really laughs.
And then
and Samantha is not happy.
And so they're going to make a fucking sex tape because Samantha's crazy.
And I'm also like, I can't believe she talked Smith Jared into this, but also clearly he would do anything for her.
I also love that she chooses to use a wig that looks like her actual hair.
I know. She says, I need to set the record straight, literally. And she's wearing like a little robey thing.
She
and
looks
like
amazing.
A diamond seashell bra thing. I could fuck you all night long, Samantha Jones. She's like giving him script lines. He's like, how are you going to get this around? She says, I'm a PR pro. I know exactly whose hands to drop this into. The very next day, two PR girls
got
an anonymous
XXX
from FedEx. Okay, so we're going to get more graphic dog and heat shit. And
I like don't even want to watch it again.
We can skip through it. Basically, Harry convinces Charlotte to let the dog off her lead so she can run around in the dog park, which is also funny that like Charlotte brought her to the dog park just to sit with her in her arms.
And then
but if you knew anything about dogs, you would not do this
because you don't let a dog in heat
around other dogs off leash. And
they all just like basically start like gang banging.
They all that's what Samantha calls it later, I'm pretty sure. And she starts like yelling. Charlotte yells at the dogs, which of course does nothing.
Get off of Elizabeth Taylor. Stay away.
Watch out for the big one. They're all dressed up for cocktails with Alexander.
God, Miranda looks like fucking Great Gatsby. Samantha's wearing a horribly culturally appropriative wig.
Yep. Carrie's in. They're all very dressed to the nines, though. I love the neckline on Charlotte's dress. It's like it's strapless, but it just has like two little ribbons.
That's
from
like
the middle
what
of
this
the,
is.
The
that's
neckline.
Like what the dress for an I was the maid of honor in a wedding looked like.
Ugh, gorgy. And they're waiting for Petrovsky, and Carrie gets a call, and she's basically like, he can't come. He has to work all night, and he can't stop right now.
And you know who doesn't like that? Her friends.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to be kind of understanding, but Carrie's like, ugh, I'm disappointed. I wanted you guys to meet him. And they say another time, like they're being sweet. And all of a sudden, a waiter, very cute little waiter, appears with a bottle of champagne and is like,
this cute waiter compliments is very cute.
So cute. Compliments of Petrovsky with his apologies. So they're like, okay, this is great. And they're like, they get drunk, which is cute. And they're like, maybe we should have this bottle of wine and then go see him, which you're like, ugh, this is a destined to fail plan.
Not
it's
good.
Just not, you know, it's not going to be good.
This is bad because we know his work. He has his own apartment and his own studio. So it just feels like just leave him alone.
He just like clearly didn't want to meet them tonight for whatever reason. And you're drunk. Ugh.
It's just so hard to watch.
And he opens the door and Carrie kisses him awkwardly and drunkenly. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm being spontaneous, which is what he told her to do when he convinced her to stay in bed with him. And she's like, I know you're working. I wanted you to see my friends. She's like, Charlotte, you met. Charlotte's wearing a great coat. Sure. Miranda and Samantha. And they're like, hi. And he is barely controlled, like, smiley. And he says, when I say I'm working. Okay.
It's very
sorry,
like
I'm very, very busy,
it's
but
very,
please
like,
do stay.
1950s though, like I told you I was working, dear.
Yeah. But also fairly justified because like he's kind of being a dick for dipping out on dinner, but also or on drinks, but like also clearly not the move, Carrie. And he does say to them, like, please enjoy my apartment, you know, like go over there and hang out.
And they're like, she's like, do you still want to see the apartment? And Miranda's like, I have to go back to Brooklyn.
It's late. I have to get back to Brooklyn, which is a phrase I have said many times.
It sure is.
And they all kind of beg off of it. And they're like, do you want to come back uptown with us? And Carrie's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And so they leave because it was really uncomfortable. And Carrie is alone in the hallway feeling shitty. And Miranda goes home and there's a really sweet scene where she is like, I am so happy to be home. She crawls up on Steve where he's reading on the bed. And he's like, oh, you are? And she says, I love you for loving my friends. And I love you for new walls, which is really sweet. She's like, and cheesecake, cannoli. She's thanking him for all the things he does. They do a really uncomfortable kissing. The two of them just have not mastered that.
Well, you know, like I've had this experience before where like you like are, I feel like it always happens when you're sort of bored in a relationship and you'll like go out with people or like another couple and you'll like see all the flaws that they have and you'll just come back and be like, I'm so appreciative.
I'm so happy. And well, he goes, well, if you liked that, you'll love what comes next. And Miranda goes, yeah. And he says, I installed your DSL line today. And she goes, oh, Steve, it's so cute.
We'd love to see Steve's butt.
Miranda is on a very trashy looking website that's like the equivalent of the trashy magazines she reads on the internet. And she clicks on a link and it just straight up pops up the full on sex video of Samantha and
it's
Smith Jarrett,
so
which like,
funny.
So like Miranda is like looking at these sites that are just posting full on
sex
celebrity sex videos.
It looks like it's just like Tattletale Net, but
yeah. So really, really quality news organization right there.
Yeah.
And Miranda kind of freaks out.
Of course, as I would.
Yes. So in the morning, Or late at night, sort of. Carrie wakes up and goes back across to the
studio,
and she sees Alexander just like kind of sitting there, pretty upset. And he
it looks
she's
like he's about to do some like cool, like multimedia
thing. Yeah. But she's like, is something wrong? And he's like, I'm fine. And she walks over and he looks the most disheveled kind of we've seen him. And she's like, no, I don't actually think you're fine. Would you talk to me and tell me, is it the piece? Like, you can tell me, please.
And he goes.
And he kind of has a moment.
What if it's not enough? All these pieces in 6 years and he finally is vulnerable.
Right. And it's clearly been weighing heavily on him and explains why he was such a dick. And Carrie's like, it's going to be enough. And she says, it's true that I don't know anything about the piece, but you're brilliant. You can do this. And he's like allowing himself to be really vulnerable in front of her. And it's so tender.
And he like quotes that woman with the skinny glasses being like, the world is waiting on bated breath. And Carrie goes, she is an uptight bitch.
Which is also, and at that diner that time, he said back to the woman when she was being so smarmy, he said, you are snide, which I was like, yes, stand up for Carrie. So they both, I love that they both are like in each other's corner. And he says, yesterday I looked up and the entire thing looked so utterly stupid. And I basically just felt like an idiot, you know, and flat and needless and childish. He's been working. There was that scene at the end of an episode where Carrie and he kissed in front of the wall of Chicago lights, basically. Yeah. And that's what he's been sort of working with. But he's also doing some editing thing on a laptop. It looks cool.
Yeah.
And Carrie just sits and listens to him.
And like, it's just, it's nice when Russians open up.
Yeah. Not like a crazy eventful episode.
No, no, no.
And like a little bit of reversion to the pre-Samantha, which I suppose is to be expected. But yeah.
It's like not the penultimate episode, but because the last one's a two-parter. But it's like the second to last episode, really.
Yeah, it's getting there. And I mean, the pop-up of Big... And which you know isn't going to be done there. And Miranda, although I can see watching this at the time and believing that she had deleted him for good reason, you know. Mm-hmm. But Miranda, like, settling into her house in Brooklyn and her life and her all the changes, you know. And Carrie is, like, being a really good communicator because she has someone who's communicating with her, you know.
Right. Which is so nice.
It is.
Bridget.
Yeah.
Who did you resonate with?
I resonated with Carrie just in the sense of like being knowing when someone isn't opening up to you fully and being frustrated by that, you know, whether it's like fair or not, you know.
Yeah.
Just that frustration of like wanting to be in on someone's life. And Miranda, to that, what you were talking about in that sense of like not even necessarily just in romantic relationships, although that particularly, but like feeling kind of stagnant about something or someone and then getting a different perspective, you know, or remembering why you like love something or someone so much.
Yeah.
Gratitude.
I always felt like I remember that would like happen to me in high school too with my parents. Where I would like be mad at them and be like, my parents are the worst. And then I would like go hang out with other people's parents and be like, actually my parents are the best.
Yeah.
So I love you, mom and dad. My mom who doesn't listen and my dad who listens religiously.
Ugh. I miss them.
They miss you.
It's kind of you. Who did you resonate with, madam?
I resonated with Carrie a little bit because I always do. And for that reason that I said before, why I resonated with her. Oh, not wanting to go out because it's cold. And choosing that
was
as an excuse.
A real good moment. Very.
Definitely the Miranda thing that we talked about, but also just like... begrudgingly going to Brooklyn.
That between borough travel is very real.
Yeah.
for a lot of reasons.
What about
ploppability?
Ploppability, yeah. I think it's pretty ploppable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously some things would shift, and I think the whole sex tape thing would probably happen a little differently.
Well, yes. Fucking, you know what they would use? Snapchat.
I was going to say Instagram Live.
Oh, my God. Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat. It's the way of the future, everyone.
Yes.
But Darren Stars?
Darren Stars, I give it like a 5.
7. Yeah, oh. Honestly, yeah. No, I'd give it a 6 probably.
Between like 5.5.
Yeah. I just feel like this season in general feels so much better to me on so many levels than a lot of the previous ones.
Totally, totally, totally.
That like it kind of just automatically exists.
Yeah.
Around above 5 probably. But I respect the decisiveness with which you came down on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
6 for a lot of reasons. Not the most exciting. Don't love the slur thrown around.
Just like no real plot momentum, just sort of plot preparation. No.
Yeah, exactly. The feeling of like things being set up to resolve kind of.
Yeah.
The denouement.
Delties upsies damn. And delties downsies.
I was just gonna say, I think we've come to that point. You wanna go? Can you talk to me? Can you tell me what's up?
I can talk. I can bicker. I can talk. I can talk. Talk. bigger. Anyway, hashtag the Music Man coming to Broadway this season, starring the greatest showman, Hugh Jackman.
Once again, folks, you heard it here first.
My Delta up is that my neck has healed really quickly from my car accident. And so I like,
and Brucey baby.
Yeah. So my scars are like much, much, much better. And, good. I've gotten to spend a lot of time with Kyle, which has been really nice. My Delta down is that Kyle is.
How was his show?
Oh, he's just the most talented person. He and my brother are the two people that, like, as soon as I see them on stage, I start weeping. Yeah. It happened, and I was like, oh, I guess I love him that much.
I could have told you that.
I love him so much.
He's the best.
And my Delta down is that he's leaving.
Yeah, when?
Like Monday.
Oh. Well, what are you doing sitting here on the Skype with me?
Hey, I love you too.
I know, I love you
too.
No
one's going to cry more than me when you get your black belt and I'm there.
God, I can't wait.
I hope that we're like, no, I don't hope this because like I think you're going to get it in more than like 15 years. But like what a gift would that be to have us be 40 and me just like sobbing.
Fuck yeah. Oh my God. Oh, man. I want it.
Wow. What about you?
Me. My Delta up is that when I leave work, it's light out. Mm. And I ordered some things on sale at ASOS today.
Oh, 'tis the season.
And, yep. I just, again, every 6 months, I'm like, oh, I should go check it out. The week is almost over and it's been kind of a quiet one, which is nice. And jujitsu is great. And, you know, am I Delta down? What's my Delta down? Oh, I'm just tired. I've been slowly trying to get more sleep, which is like both good for me. And I think just I've subsisted on so little for so long that my body is like, what is happening? And it's disorienting in the mornings.
I get that.
And also, you know, just sometimes brain things are hard. Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. Brooke, I just want to know where I can find you.
Oh, yeah.
On social media.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can find
me
on Snapchat at BrookieMonster9.
First things first.
You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman. You can find me on Instagram at BrookeWiseman_. And if you put the underscore, I will leave you a 5-minute voicemail that's just me vocal frying.
That sounds like a punishment for you also.
Yes. You're right.
Mutually assured destruction right there.
Could I find you anywhere if I wanted?
I don't know. Could you?
I don't know. Tell me.
You could take your cute little thumbs and type away. Twitter, Mrs. Burr-Macklin. Instagram, Bridget M37. Collectively, importantly, we are
at Splat Podcast at Twitter and Gmail and Instagram and all the things.
All the things, really.
Oh, and we're on Facebook at Splat the Podcast if you're hanging out over there.
Oh, yeah. Please
we
rate
and haven't been posting that much now, and we'll be better.
No. Well, I mean.
I'll be better. You know. I'm just going to start going fucking rampant.
I can't say anything on that because I literally never go on Facebook. So.
Oh, I meant on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, Instagram. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm about to step up my game for you beautiful babies.
That's right. You whip out that stool, baby. Step up to the streets.
Anyway, that's all, folks.
Yep. And do not forget, you heard it here first.
And rate, review, subscribe. Hear that, too.
I said it. Okay. Love you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.